mumtomillionaire.com. Excel in business and life. Be a go getter.
Oh yes, this is the Mum to Millionaire podcast and welcome to episode 45. My name's Vina V. I'm an online entrepreneur and the founder of Mum to Millionaire, and I help you to become more confident and creative with using YouTube. Today on the show, we have a mum of two. She is the founder of EM Free Kids Club and also the founder of Brides of Culture. Please welcome to the show, Kemi.
Good afternoon.
I think I'm in a basketball game, clearly. And this is really interesting situation what we're in right now. We've just finished a YouTube and branding expert. This is how you know it's been a long day, when you can't talk. We have just finished a YouTube and branding workshop with myself and another mumpreneur who's already been on the Mum to Millionaire podcast called V Roberts. And it's just been a great day. And Kemi has actually come along to our workshop. And it's been I think I've plugged so much information and we're just sat here now. It's like 4:30 and I think we're both ready to like collapse. But in all seriousness, how did you find the workshop today that we put on?
It was amazing, very informative. I thought you just get your phone out, record something and post it on YouTube. But there was an eye-opener. You need to get the lighting right. You need to have your phone on landscape and to make sure your branding is right. So today was very, very informative and I've learned a lot.
Oh, I'm so glad she said it. It could have been embarrassing, like this was a rubbish workshop. But she enjoyed it, which is great. And I didn't even pay her. But Kemi is here today because she's going to tell you, I love the title of this, that Kemi actually came up with it, from childcare woes to childcare pro. So coming up in this podcast, we are going to talk about how you can start your own childcare business, which is such a great option for mums. Like when you become a mum, you might think, what can I do now? And this is really a viable business. But first, what I want to talk to Kemi about is just childcare in general. Like, I actually met Kemi at an amazing event she put on called the Mumtrepreneurs Tea in East London. And even for that, it's like you always need to arrange childcare. So let's talk about this, both of us being mumpreneurs. Like, how do we sort out our childcare?
That's why I started childcare, because I was in the IT industry for 7 years as a software analyst. But childcare was a nightmare, because sometimes I had to stay at work till about 6:30, sometimes 6:45. And there was no childcare facility in my area at the time. So after I had my last son, I decided to give up my job and find something that I could kind of still get an income and spend time with my children. And that's how EM3 came about. So yeah, childcare is a nightmare. And for mums that are busy, to find the right childcare, you know, is hard. But, you know, the hustle continues.
I love that, the hustle continues. So in terms of finding the right childcare, because I can remember when I was putting my son into nursery, it is a bit scary because can you trust these people? What are the key things we need to look for in a childcare provider?
So for starters, you need to go and view the premises. Do like a mini risk assessment. Risk assessment meaning go unannounced. Because if you ring up saying, oh, I want to come and have a look at your childcare setting, they make sure everything is prim and proper, nice and clean. So just go unannounced. Usually the best thing I say to people is go during lunchtime. So go about 12 o'clock, between 12 and 1, where you can see how the children are being fed, if they've been eating healthy, and if the place is a mess. That way you can tell, you know. And then sometimes what I say is go very early in the morning. So if the nursery opens at 8 o'clock, try and get there bang on 8 o'clock to see if it had been cleaned up the night before. So those are the kind of little tips I would give mums, you know, looking for a nursery. With after school clubs, the best time to go and view an after school club is just when the children are coming back from the school. Then you can see how chaotic it is. If the staff are, you know, arranging the children properly and there's not books flying around and bags and jackets going all over the place. And then with a childminder also the best thing to do with that is just go unannounced. Ideally go during midday, that's usually nap time, so you kind of see if some of the children have been engaged, some of the children will be put to bed, and those that are not sleeping, what do the childminders do with them?
I'm so glad you brought up childminders, because my son, I talk about him so much, but he's basically been banned from all the school clubs at school. I'll make a YouTube video about this. I won't go into it now because I will cry. But yeah, he's been banned from school clubs. And I'm just like, you know, when you're just at your last straw, and I'm like, what the hell am I going to do? And I'm thinking, okay, childminder, maybe that's the best thing. So he's got one person that can be there, pick him up from school, then just stay with him, maybe come to my house. Or like, how does the whole child, is a childminder, like if I wanted someone to pick him up from school and come to my house, is that a childminder or is that a different?
Some of them are called nannies, some of them are called childminders, and some of them are called au pairs. So with that, I think with your son, him being banned, some children do need one-to-one.
Yeah.
Some children don't feel comfortable with like 25 other children in an after school club. They like the attention. Yeah. So I will say, if you know your child, and you should know the kind of care he needs. Yeah. With the child mind, well, not child minding, they go to the person's house, but for someone to come to your house, you need a nanny.
God, I ain't got no money for that. God damn it. Let's talk. There's two things there. I couldn't mention money. God, what has my life come to today? In terms of finding a childminder, then I know you said obviously visit them kind of in the day, maybe when it's nap time. What else are we looking for in a childminder? Like, do they need a qualification? How do we check up on them and just know what other people think?
So with that, they have to be Ofsted registered. So if you're looking in your area, what you need to do is go on your borough's website and have a look at the registered, because there are a lot of people that are not registered. I would advise people to go with the registered childminders. So go on your borough's website, have a look at all the different childminders, get their names down, go on the Ofsted's website and obviously search those names and kind of view their ratings.
And then obviously just try and visit them. Well, not try, go and visit them.
You definitely have to go and have a visit. And sometimes, I always say to moms, go with your motherly instincts. When you're at a place, you just know how, you know, there's just that feeling. Your gut feeling is never wrong. I usually say to moms, go with your gut feeling. And sometimes take the child with you and just see how the childcare provider interacts with your child. Because you see some people, they, you know, first thing, once they see the child, they're very interactive with the child, try to expand the child's knowledge. And you just see some people, they're like soldiers, and you're like, oh, hello, you know, what's your name? So I think
that was a very good impression, Kemi. I like that.
So sometimes just kind of have a feel and just kind of watch the childcare provider with your child. Yeah. And like I said, you know, your gut instincts, it's never wrong. So just go with that as well.
That is a really great tip. It is true, though. Sometimes I go against my gut and then I'm like, why did I do that? That's blatantly right. So I mentioned money issue before. In terms of money, like childcare can be expensive. Obviously, we've got like working tax credits that can give some of it back and all that. But in terms of like, what is your advice if we really can't afford an after school club, or is there anything we can do? Like, I always suggest to people, maybe, you know, if there's another mum down your road, take it in turn. So one day you have the children and the next day, is there more tips like that you could suggest?
You have to trust the person, first of all.
I trust no one of my son.
I did that. I still do sometimes because one of my children, when they go to school, sometimes there's a parent I trust. Oh, can you please pick up Malachi for me from school? Because I have to, the other one has got football. I can't split myself into two. My husband works long hours. So yeah, there's certain parents I trust with my children and there's certain I don't. And for me, I would say most of us in UK, we're from different cultural backgrounds and we've always got family support. Mm-hmm. So with me, I've got a huge family support. Yeah. And a lot of people do. For those that don't, you have to find a friend you trust.
And someone like me, you're basically stuffed. I can't even think now, re-say what I just said, because it's not that I don't trust the parents. I don't trust my son with that parent. I trust most parents, but it's just my son. I can't trust it with other people. So I think if I'm not alone, please email me or tweet me right now so I can feel better about my situation.
It's not your son. I think it's just you trying to understand him. I mean, with my second son, he's hands-on, he's got too much energy. Yeah. So, I mean, what I had to do is Monday to Saturday, he's busy, he's doing something. Because there's some kids that just have that energy, so you just need to keep them busy.
Well, this is what I did with the school clubs, but he's not allowed to go to them anymore.
Don't give up. You need to find something he likes. You need to find something he likes and just keep at it. You can never give up.
Don't worry. My son even said, he copies what I say now. He's like, Mum, you can never give up. I went, I know, mate. I taught you that. So, but no, it is a kind of unique situation. And I think I will do a YouTube video or another podcast about, because there's a lot of things that do affect my son. I think he's very emotional. He's got anger issues. But it is the thing of like, he just always wants to be busy. So when I pick him up from school, and I love it, actually. I wouldn't change him for the world. But there is that thing of like, I have to take him to the park every day or I have to do this. But that's him. And like you said, you just have to keep them busy, don't you? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, let's move on now to your actual tips on how to start a childcare business. Because I think a lot of mums listening maybe have not started a business yet, but they want to do something where they can still, you know, fit it kind of around their children. How does that work? And how does someone even just get started with that? Like, do you need a qualification to be a childminder?
Yes or no. So it depends on what type of childcare you want to go into. So if you were to start up a nursery, for instance, if you're going to be part of ratio in the nursery, then you will need to have a qualification. But if you're just going to own the nursery and fund it, you're not going to be there physically, then you don't need any qualifications. So if you're going to run a childcare business and you want to be part of ratio, then yes, you have to have a qualification.
And is that like something you can just go to college for, or how does that?
All you need to do is go into a college. Any college in your borough will run it. So it could be an apprenticeship course. It could be a diploma. There's levels 1, 2, 3. Yeah. Some of it takes from about 7 to 8 months. Some could take 12 to 18 months, depending on what level you want to go. So there's a childcare diploma. There's playwork. Mm-hmm. There's a nursery nurse. So there's so many childcare qualifications out there that you can do. All you need to do is just go and research it. And in your local, the thing is, most people don't know. If you go into your local authority's websites, all the information, you know, is on the website. But a lot of people don't know to go there.
Yeah.
Starting up your own childcare business, first of all, you need to do a research in the area and make sure there's a need for it in the area. There's no point in starting a nursery in an area where there's already 6 nurseries. What I say to people is ring around 3 or 4 different nurseries in the area and find out if they've got a waiting list. If there's no waiting list, then there's no need for another childcare provider in the area. But if there's a waiting list, then you know there's a lot of children in that area. So
I'm loving that tip, Cammie. That was very good. It's a bit sneaky, isn't it? No, I'm joking. That's all about market research, isn't it? So
it is about market research. And then once you know there's a need in the area, then finding the right premises is key. There's no point in finding a nursery in the middle of
the desert?
industrial area, that's it, sorry. but like I said, you know, it's like looking for a premises in an industrial area and then there's no schools or there's no houses around the place. I mean, there's no point. So you're better off looking for like residential areas, premises close to stations, because parents can just drop off their children and jump on the train or jump on the bus. So location is key. And obviously getting Ofsted's registration in place, and the rest is just, you know.
And it's as easy as that. But obviously that takes time, and you obviously need a lot of money behind you to get a premises and it's going to take a lot of time. I know you just talked about it in the steps, but it does take time to get your qualification, find a premises. In terms of funding, is it just as simple, can you go to your bank, or can you just, you know, people might be lucky enough to have savings? What's your advice in terms of the money aspect of starting?
In terms of funds, there's different ways. You can save up. You can get a loan from the bank. If you have a good business plan, there's different bodies out there that actually give you a startup loan. A lot of people think loan is a taboo. I mean, I was one of those. When I started, a few people said, oh, go and get a loan. I was like, oh, no, I'm not getting a loan. I don't want to get in debt. But I wish I had, because I used up all my savings, and thank God for my husband.
We love you, husband.
So he kind of gave me most of the money I needed. But yeah, so I will say to people, obviously, try and save up as much as possible. Getting a loan is not a taboo. If you have a very good business plan, yeah. your bank would give you a loan. And there's different bodies. I think Virgin does a few good deals. And there's a lot of other governing bodies out there as well. And even the government, they do like business startup grants. Yeah. So I think people just need to research about different ways to find funding because there are out there.
In terms of, you know, obviously you hire people to work where your nursery is going to be. How does that work? Do you do that when you've literally got your premises and you've got the Ofsted stuff? I mean, what is the time frame of that? Or do you start, like, do you try and do everything together? What's the kind of, is that the last thing you do is find workers? Or there's actually so much to do, isn't it? You need to find workers who are good. You need to obviously get some kind of waiting list in place or something. I mean, how does that all work?
It's not done together. I think each, like I said, childcare is a broad subject. So it depends on, I'll use myself as an example. Where I kind of found the premises first and then I contacted Ofsted to come have a look at the premises because they had to come and do a risk assessment of the place. So the day I had my Ofsted inspection was the day they asked me if I had got staff in place. I didn't know at the time that I because as far as I was concerned, I haven't started the childcare, so why would I need staff? So I said to them, well, I'm the only staff.
Just me with 30 children.
So advice is to kind of, while you're doing the premises, start looking for staff. So there's all these free websites that you can go to register and then start looking for staff. And obviously while you're doing interviews for staff, just let them know the setting is not started yet. You're just interviewing ahead of time. So doing my Ofsted registration at the time, she asked me, oh, how many staff have you got? I'm like, I haven't got any staff. She was, oh, so I said, oh, I'm going to be working, so I'm a staff. And I had another friend that was going to come and work with me as well, so I just put her name down. So as soon as I finished the Ofsted registration that day, because they don't give you an answer straight away, they need to go back and assess. So as soon as the lady left, I just got home, went on a few recruitment websites and started looking for staff.
Wow. I love your honesty. That is great. So that is how you do it, basically. And what else do people need to think about? Because I actually can't imagine. Like, it just seems really a big thing to do, like starting your own nursery. So obviously you need to find your workers, find the premises, get your qualification, get an Ofsted in. What else do you need to do? I mean, there's just loads, isn't there? Like, even the menu, where do you get food from? Your toy, like, where do you get food from? Like,
The whole operations
we could be here for an hour doing that.
The whole operations, I think it kind of, like I said, I usually advise people it's best for you to kind of get trained up on it, because when you study about childcare, you automatically
So they will actually teach you in the qualification how to...
So they will teach you, obviously, what needs to be done, but then you as a person know the visions you have for your setting, and then you then adapt it based on the knowledge you know. So with me, I knew that the after-school club was going to be like some sort of a respite care, so the children are coming back from school, all they want to do is play, but at the same time still find a way for them to kind of learn, so they kind of learn through play, and they still do homework, they do lots of painting, creative arts and designs, and you know, so if you know what you want and then adapt it to that. So we had to do different plannings, trial and error. So and what I do is we ask the children a lot, do you like this? Because they are going to be the ones in the setting. I can't say, oh, you have to do homework today. And they're like, oh, I don't want to do homework. Yeah. I'll do that when I get home. So we ask the children a lot, what do you want to do? What do you like doing? So when we plan, we kind of include the children in our planning. So, yeah.
Okay, so in terms of, so we talked about the nursery setting. I'm guessing it's much more easier if you want to be a childminder. Is that you just still need the Ofsted?
Oh, yes.
And then do they obviously come to your house?
Yes.
And can anyone, like, could I just do it in my house? Or is there some kind of criteria?
So to become a childminder, you need to contact Ofsted again. They come to your house, they risk assess your house, and you need to have allocated space for the children. So you can't just have it in your living room. If you're going to be having guests in your living room, you would have to have a specific area. So for example, if you've got a conservatory, you can convert your conservatory strictly for your childminder businesses. So even if you had a guest that came to your house, they would go into the sitting room because you need to protect the children. So Ofsted would come in and risk assess your house. They will need to know where the toilets are, if the toilets are far away, and I think the heights of the toilets as well is something they take into consideration, because if you've got very little children, they can't be using the really big toilets.
But it sounds so obvious, but to some people, like, you wouldn't think of that, would you?
And then with childminding as well, they still have to plan the activities they do with the children, and with them, because they're behind closed doors, Ofsted are more strict with the registration process. So that you really need to think about it.
I just think this is a really viable option, though. I know there's probably a lot of steps involved, and people might listen to this thinking, oh, that was quick. There's not, you know, much to do there. But I'm guessing, obviously, it's a lot of hard... With any business, it's a lot of hard work. But like Kemi says, as long as you have that business plan in place and you have done your research, I think it is really viable to be a childminder, especially fitting it in with your own family life.
Yeah, it is. It is, because I work with my children. I'm with my children 24/7, apart from when they're off in school for that 9-to-3 period. But apart from that, you know, it's the reward of watching your children, you know, grow, and they're happier when they're with you.
Oh, she's just the most gorgeous smile then, like, so happy. I'm dreading going back to seeing my son later. I'm just like, damn it.
It's not that bad.
I must sound like such a horrible mum. I'm probably in a bad mood today. That's all it is. I do love my son, if you ever listen to this. I really do. Okay, let's talk about your productivity tips. Is there one thing that you do that just really helps you to focus and just get stuff done as a mumpreneur?
My faith. I think my faith helps me a lot, because I know where I want to go, and I know that I have to do it. And I have this thing that I say, you know, with God, all things are possible. So for me, it's a no-brainer. It's just, you know, it just comes natural.
I love that. I love that so much. And I want to ask people now, because I'm trying to show through my Mum to Millionaire YouTube channel and through my Periscopes, as Kemi knows, she's my big fan on Periscope. I'm trying to show what the reality is to be a working mum, to be a mumpreneur, because I still feel there's so much people, and it's no one's fault really, well it is, but there's just so much stuff on YouTube, on Instagram, everything's so glossy, someone's got a baby in their hand with a laptop, it ain't the way it is. So I'm starting to ask people on this podcast, what is the actual truth about being a mumpreneur?
It's not a walk in the park at all. It's difficult. For me to be able to balance my family life and me being an entrepreneur, it's me having to delegate time. So I wake up at between 5 and 5:30 every day. It gives me time. So most of my emails I actually read very early in the morning. After I have my little prayer, then I, you know, jump on my laptop, and then my kids wake up between 6 and 6:30. So I've had good hour and a half to respond to emails before the whole school run happened. So it's not easy, but you know, you have to be determined, because if you know what you want, you would not. I mean, I've had days where my son's so sick, I've had training I need to go for, you know. So there was a day I had a meeting and my son was off school. I had to take him to my meeting. So I rang them saying, no, I apologize, it's not professional, but hey, I'm a mum. My son's ill, so it's either I cancel this meeting or I bring him along. So it's not easy, as social media is playing it out to be. It's you know, but like I said, determination and just balancing it out.
That's so good you said that, because I think a lot of people now, they think it's easy. Like, I think it's a cool thing. Oh yeah, I'm an entrepreneur, I run a business. But the reality is, it's damn hard. Like, there is so many different aspects, and then you throw into the mix that you're a mum and you've got two of them as well.
Boys.
It's just, yeah, two boys. She's got, I complain, I've got one. I'm like, Kemi's got two. But you know, that's what I want. If you have not started your business yet and you've got a full-time job, like, think very carefully. Business also is not for everyone. I don't like, like, I know I'm always this whole mum to millionaire is all about helping you start your business, but at the same time, you need to see if it's for you. It might. I was really happy when I was a radio presenter getting regular money every month. Like now, I'm just like, oh my god, I got £10. What the hell?
I think everyone is, because it's like with me. I mean, I used to work in Canada Square. The income was fantastic, but like I said, my children, I wasn't spending time with them anymore. And what was the point? It's like I literally got my salary, paid the nursery, because one was in nursery, one was in an after school club at the time, and then the rest of the money was spent on transport. And I just thought, seriously, I'm paying someone else to look after my children and I'm paying TFL. And I just thought, what's the point? So I just thought I had to give him, but obviously I didn't just pack in my job very just like that. I started.
How I did.
No, because I told my husband I wanted to leave my job, and he was like, "Are you crazy? You know, we need the income. We've got two kids and da da da." So I went back to my manager at the time. I said, "Oh, can I please start part time hours?" But because it was in an IT industry, it was difficult to get the part time. So although I was part time, I was still work. So I'll have 2 days off work. But the 2 days I was meant to be off, I was working from home. So although it was meant to be part-time hours, they were, oh, Kemi, please, there's a release that needs to go live. Can you quickly test it? So within like a space of 3 weeks, I kind of started working from home on those 2 days. So it wasn't really part-time. So I'm meant to be spending time with my children. I've got him, because I think my youngest was about 11 months at the time. So I'm feeding him in one hand and I'm on the laptop on the other. And there was a day I was feeding him and he fell off his... And I just thought to myself, seriously, Kemi, like, you're meant to be working from home. So I just emailed my boss at the time. I remember, I was like, oh, John, I can't do this. And I just shut the laptop down and I picked up my child. And I think that was one of the reasons why I just thought, that's it. And I remember that night when I put him to bed, I started doing research that, oh, you know, what can I do? I need to do something. I can't carry on doing this. And the rest is history.
I'm glad you said that, though, because I think that is a story that resonates with so many people. It's like myself. I used to work in, after my media stuff, I used to work in the city. And it was the same thing. All my money was going on childcare, going on transport. And I thought, what kind of life is this? I'm not even happy. I don't even like this job I'm in. But, you know, I do want to say, like, I think mums, if you are really determined to get that life you want, be happy, see your children every day, you can do it. But also remember the reality of running a business. It's not this happy, like, oh, you're going to work from home and you can hold your baby in one hand. Like, then you're in what the situation we're in. I'm trying to frigging find, like, a childminder now. So, you know, there is pros and cons, but I do believe I'm doing this for the long term. I'm not here to complain and say, oh, life is so hard. Because if we want the life, I'm trying to create a really happy life where I can actually spend more quality time with him, but then build these empires that I'm trying to do at the same time. So I'm glad you said that, because I think a lot of people listening to this will be in the same position as what we've literally gone through.
Yeah, it's true. But, you know, determination and just knowing what you want. And, you know, you need to, people just think, oh, I'll just pack in and go and do this. You need to actually research. Yeah. I think do a proper research of what you feel. And I think sometimes if you love doing something, the passion behind it kind of helps obviously drive it along as well. You need to have that passion as well for what you do. Because you can't think, oh, I'll start my own childcare business today. You need to have a passion for it. I love children. That's what I could easily do this.
Yeah, don't go, I hate children. Oh, I'm just going to start a childcare business. Like, actually, I would even suggest now, get a bit of paper and see, what do you love doing? I love making videos. I love YouTube. That's why now I've branded myself in the whole YouTube space. We did a YouTube workshop today. I have a YouTube course. I sell tripods. All because I like blimmin' videos and YouTube. But can you see what I've done? I'm creating these different brands around what I like to do. Like, I love teaching everyone today. Imagine if I hated, like, teaching people. But it's like what Kemi said as well. She likes children. So go with what you like. It's that buzzword, isn't it, of passion? Yeah. But it's true.
You have to be passionate about what you do, because if you're not passionate, you would not want... The reason this I'm doing...
You wouldn't wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning if you weren't passionate.
True. It's because I've got the passion. That's why I can wake up. And sometimes I go to bed about 11 and I wake up at 5. But because I've got that passion, you know, it works.
Oh, I love this. So, okay, I just love her. She's so cute. Where can we find out more about you?
Okay, you can go to www.kemioshiloye.com. That's to find out about me, to find out about the after school club, mobile creche. Go to www.emfreekidsclub.com. You can find me on Facebook, Kemi Oshiloye, Twitter, Kemi Oshiloye, Instagram, Kemi Oshiloye.
How did you start Periscope?
I've got a Periscope account, but I've never obviously.
Okay, I'm gonna make Kemi do a Periscope. I'm actually gonna make you do one now.
Reception.
No, I don't care. I'm gonna make her do one now, and I'm gonna embed it somehow in this blog post. Thank you so much, Kemi, for coming on. And yeah, actually, if you want to see that Periscope, hopefully this is gonna work. I'm saying this live, but it might not be. No, it will be there. If you go to mumtomillionaire.com/episode45, you can find all of Kemi's links to her kids club, her website, and hopefully that Periscope video will be there as well. Thank you so much, Kemi, for coming on. Do you have any more kind of a roundup of like an inspirational quote or something? What would you say to a mum right now if she wants to start her own business?
Don't wait till tomorrow, do it today.
Oh, Kemi, I love her. If you've never listened to this podcast, if you've never watched me on Periscope or YouTube, that is my phrase. She said it. And that's the perfect way to end this. Take action today, not tomorrow. And remember, I'm here to help you to become more confident and creative on YouTube. So make sure you check out mumtomillionaire.com. There's YouTube courses. More YouTube workshops are coming up as well. So just stay in the loop and get ahead. Kemi is so amazing. She made that decision. She invested in herself, and now I will kill her if I do not see videos. She ain't coming to this workshop for like nothing. But seriously, you need to be getting your business on YouTube or just making some kind of videos. If you're not, you are gonna get left behind. Like I said, go and check out Kemi on the website, mumtomillionaire.com/episode45.
mumtomillionaire.com. Excel in business and life. B-A. Go get her.
Wow, what another amazing episode of the Mum to Millionaire podcast. If this is the first time that you've ever listened to this podcast, please do come back again. I would love to have you part of the Mum to Millionaire crew. We maybe should have like a name for us, but we'll just call it the Mum to Millionaire crew. Subscribe on your phone. If you're listening to this on your iPhone or on your Android device, all you got to do is click on the subscribe button. If you're thinking, I've never subscribed to a podcast, it is really easy. You just go back out onto the Mum to Millionaire page where you found this on the podcast app, and there'd be a little button that says subscribe. Click on it, it's free, and then you'll be notified every time I release a brand new episode. So much inspiration on this show. Thank you so much for listening. Kemi was amazing. I feel like I want to set my own nursery now. Do you ever get like this when you listen to a podcast and you're like, oh, I really feel like doing that now? Make sure, if that has inspired you, always do your research. And I always say this to people, what are you passionate about? Like we talked about with Kemi, if you don't like children, if you can just about deal with your own, do not set up your own nursery. But really sit down with yourself and think about what you love doing. I love interviewing people, making podcasts, making videos. So that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm building into my own business, is more video content, helping other people to get onto YouTube. And if you want me to help you, if you want some one-on-one coaching and training, just go over to mumtomillionaire.com, click on the YouTube tab, and there'll be loads of stuff on there on how you can contact me in terms of my one-to-one YouTube coaching. I can do channel reviews. You can actually hire me for 1 hour. We can talk over Skype. I will analyze your business. I will analyze your YouTube channel if you've already got one, and I will give you loads of ideas of videos you can make and how to build your brand online. That is what I'm here to do. I'm here to help you build video into your business. And everybody knows that video is so important, especially now. There's so much noise on social media, and you just need to stand out. And you can do that by making your very own YouTube videos or Periscope, or get onto Facebook Live. But if you're just a little bit confused and you want help to be more confident,
confident, you want ideas on what the hell you can make a video about, I am here to help you. So just go over onto the blog and click onto the YouTube page, mumtomillionaire.com, and I will see you really soon. Keep pushing yourself forward. And as always, I always say this to you, take action today, not tomorrow.